And welcome, 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 dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. This is your Drive Time session with myself, Dwight, and Helmut here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM, welcoming you to this Tuesday edition. And just before we start off, obviously, do remember, guys, today's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. You obviously would know what Wednesday implies. Is that specifically, look, you can look out for the, that is the Villager ePaper platform or the Villager ePaper edition of Wednesday, the 4th of June, which is technically tomorrow. And obviously, before we also start off with our discussion, do remember you can also participate in the discussion here on your number one talk radio station, specifically at the line or number of 083-288-401. Don't worry, guys. Even though Helmut and I, we do have informative engagement and thus also very interactive. I don't want to say entertaining, because entertaining would then have stripped us of all the invested intelligence that we are literally committing to our daily conversations. So I say interactive, highly interactive.
The intelligence we are ready to impart upon thee.
You see, Helmut, that's... But I was just now rubbing our egos to the highest degrees.
And I know.
And then all you come and do is you come and pour. What's that thing's name? Not even marinade sauce. You gave us vinegar.
Oh, no. Well, it depends on what I'm pouring the vinegar on. If it's French fries, then, or Belgian fries, those guys are still debating over, you know, who's who should have the right copyright documentations to that.
To that recipe,
uh-huh.
Or said claim to fame.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
So, education, right?
Education it is.
There are three things that we are looking at. Actually, let me not say three. Let me just say several to be safe.
Yeah.
And there are several things that have been associated to the subject of education as we are going to talk about it today. Mm. And that is teacher absenteeism. I cannot believe we are having that as part of the, learners absenteeism is one thing, but teachers, that's a whole different discussion. And then, although there, there are several things that were pointed out to, that may be attributed to the said absenteeism. And the second thing is the call for the, call it the abolition of interviews, which is also a very interesting discussion. And then you have one thing that is unemployment. Yeah, and especially, then you look at the unemployment statistics, where you are seeing a lot of people that are graduating especially, and this is actually all across fields, although the marching today, this morning, was here in Windhoek was dominated or just education graduates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, but it's still, the unemployment statistics as we saw it come out of the NSA last year is one that is, that makes for it to, to borrow the language of the United Nations, Secretary General, makes for a sobering reading. And, that basically goes to point out that this is not a first of all, I don't think there's one person that has all the answers to this question. Answer the questions in a way that maybe we all want them. Take the one of interviews, for example. I've been hearing that since earlier this week, and the question I can't stop asking myself is, if you have to get rid of job interviews, you will have to come up with a substitute vetting process that will enable you to know on whether, to sort of like figure out if you, if this is the right candidate that you are looking for. Now, what would be the replacement of, what would take the place of job interviews if you got rid of job interviews? Don't get me wrong. I totally understand some of the questions being asked in, like, some of the questions that are considered standard for a job interview. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Who am I, Bushiri? Like, when you look at
I don't think Bushiri even has,
he has no clue.
What is one of those X-Men from the Marvel series universe? One of the guys that can see into the future.
Vision?
Yeah. So, no one obviously has that power.
No one.
No one. Yeah. But here's the thing, Helmut. If our listeners saw our social media post, obviously, before we started with the show, we sort of like broke our show up into three pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So where you started off, obviously, was with The Ugly. Yes, I somewhat copied from Ennio Morricone's famous The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Western movie that starred Clint Eastwood. No one knew where Clint Eastwood came from, but you know what? It was it still is one of the best movies in the world.
Yeah.
I can now testify to it because I watched it four times. But The Ugly of this particular discussion, actually, that one point that you highlighted there about the interview process,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, suggested by this, one of these protesting unemployed qualified teacher, because I can't call them a teacher because they're not a teacher yet. You know, it's like calling someone who just graduated in law with a 3-year degree. I can't call them a lawyer because there's still so much more processes to do
to go through
or to achieve before they can achieve the level of lawyer. With that person, and if you don't know, dear listeners, and go to our show socials, we've highlighted some of these particular talking points in three dimensions even. But two of the other dimensions fall in their own right in the bad and in the strange discussion.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously now just to give you the sort of like the pun that we are playing with. So Ennio Morricone's famous movie, which is known as the Dollar series, it's one of three. Starts off with The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We are highlighting The Ugly, The Bad, and The Strange, because the ugly scenario is here that there are unemployed, skilled people that are being churned out by tertiary institutions, and the ministry mentions it in their statement.
Yeah.
They mention oversupply as well, Helmut, once again.
That oversupply part, that is the second time that, the second time, especially for lower primaries, that, that statement is being made.
Yeah.
That, was that last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, that was made that, the lower primary phase is being, being oversupplied with the graduates that are specializing in, on that level of teaching.
Mm.
And, the higher education part, aka, middle and high school, if I can classify them as such, those ones are the ones that are still, sort of like struggling to find the right teachers. And, my relief teaching, I did it in middle and high school.
Mm.
Yeah, and one thing that I noticed also even when I was in high school was that language teachers are difficult to find.
Yeah.
Our English, English teacher, English teachers were coming and going, but those ones were not even the most difficult to find.
Mm.
Accounting teachers. And when I was in Tsumkwe, Afrikaans teachers.
Mm.
Like I don't know why you are not teaching Afrikaans, apart from the fact that most.
I'll be honest with you, Ahmed, mm-hmm. and you know what it is.
Please just apply, and then even the principal would be like, "That's AJ."
No, but you and I know what is the issue. But there's also a notion,
yeah.
Because the next thing people would then be asking is there an incentive?
Yeah.
You know about that incentive.
Oh yeah.
You got that incentive.
Oh, boy, did I! Okay, I didn't gain weight, but I didn't.
But we are assuming. That incentive is probably
still there.
It's probably still active.
Yeah.
So we are working on the assumption that what's the term you use?
Bush allowance.
Bush allowance exists.
I don't know why they came to do it.
Because it's in the bush, bruh. It's in the sticks.
Well, just call it, green allowance.
That's why I was doing the propaganda stand at the start of our show. In terms of highlighting, that we are literally sharing knowledge with, fellow Namibians. And then you show up with green allowance,
Look,
it's the bush, brah. This is not Europe. It's the bush.
Look,
we literally know what, if people say the bush, then you know it's that big.
Look, it's climate change lingo.
Yeah.
Just throw it in there.
Yeah. Because if you say green, everyone would just see yellow. The greenery.
Especially this time of
the
year.
Yeah, the greenery is gone.
You just see that. But look, this is actually one of those problems that doesn't have one single answer.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, because if you look at, the most painful thing, I think, and also to some degree very discouraging, is that, high institutions have students that are studying education as we speak.
Yeah.
Now, imagine waking up, today in the morning, in the middle of your education assignment, and then you go on social media and find graduates.
You go to Eagle FM.
Yeah.
You hear it on the radar. Uh-huh. You hear it on Okundana Dinghy. Then Dwight and Helmut walks in.
Comes in and make it worse.
Yeah.
And then so now.
We are actually compounding this.
We're the worst. No.
We're literally feeding out people that are already. Well, no, we're not doing that, but we are just, sketching an even worse scenario.
It's very discouraging. But yeah. Now the thing is, First of all, this is now brings us back to our dilemma.
Yeah.
First of all, you can't tell high institutions to stop offering the education course.
Yeah. Or to go and stop.
Nope.
It's also the same thing, Hamut, when what happened in COVID. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks, okay, now that we all are sick or we're dealing with an unknown particular virus, let's stop all the businesses. How do you stop all the businesses? How do you stop everyone from moving? If the best scenario was potentially, like many of the proponents for, allow people to move,
mm-hmm.
just don't allow them to be contained in very restrictive or tight spaces for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And then we suddenly heard about the discussions. No, you can open up the windows. You can have air conditioning on, but don't close the windows. And everyone knows having the windows open while the aircon is on costs you more money.
Yeah, a lot.
Which was also a bit of a dumb thing to say. Yes, yeah. It was a dumb thing to say because aircons also give you respiratory issues.
Yeah.
Not COVID issues. Please, people. But anyway, that's me digressing.
Before someone removes the aircon, this is bringing me COVID-19. No, it doesn't.
Like they were talking about 5G. My goodness.
Oh, yeah, that was.
I had a family member that stayed with us about 2 years back. That literally believed all that 5G nonsense, that 5G spreads.
5G will give you COVID-19.
5G, bro. Now, what happened at 4G and 3G? Did we get avian flu at 4G?
Yeah.
And did we get the Spanish flu with 3G?
Okay, Thank God we didn't.
Yeah, we're not here to deal with the conspiracy theories.
Yeah, especially the Spanish flu part.
Yeah.
Look, this is very difficult to look at it, as somewhat of in its singular form. Mm. Because, when you look at it, a lot of graduates that graduate and specialize in all kinds of fields are facing the very same problem that education graduates are facing. And that's, lack of opportunities.
Mm.
You can get, and you, this is the same thing that you see even with nursing graduates. And which is why a lot of them are just, learning foreign languages and then hop on a plane and leave the country.
Mm.
And by the way, I think to some degree that you can see the same thing in the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
The Middle East is actually littered with a lot of Africans. That are especially doing, that specialize, hospitality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you look at this, then you begin to realize that, we are back to this, to the discussion of, we are a factory. Look at our education systems, both academics and technical institutions as, more like assembly lines that are rolling out graduates.
Mm.
But we don't have enough supply to basically feed these graduates into. It's basically Peugeot 2.0.
Mm.
You have manufacturing is a stretch. You have assembled it.
Mm.
But what is your target market?
Yeah.
Where is it? First of all, you didn't figure it out. So every time that we roll out students of every courses, and they go out there, and the first question they face is, okay, now what?
Mm.
It's a very painful realization.
It is. I mean, Hamut, that's why I gave the story of last week about the person that I met who went to an interview.
Yeah.
The lady who highlighted specifically, and the job she was interviewed for is in our field, communications.
Mm-hmm.
Highlighting specifically that they had to do a practical test. literally, you know, fact checking. Editing and correcting, you know, and all that. Mostly it was an editing exercise. And, you know, obviously looking at spelling and incorrect spelling.
Yeah.
Without a spelling checker or without a, what you call it, a
ChatGPT.
A ChatGPT. AI. Or an AI thing or any electronic. This was all analog. Paper and pen.
Yeah.
Paper and pencil. That's what she explained to me. From that particular scenario, before they started with that test, she was the particular sort of like the manager or whatever, stood at the front and said, some of you show up here with honors and master's degrees, but you guys have less than 5 years experience in even just in the public relations roles or even in a media role. Now, if someone like that already identifies to you as an applicant, but some of you showed up here, some of you applied here, but you don't have the adequate, experience or the required industry experience to participate somewhere. Now, let's ask that particular question again, Helmut. Even the public schools don't want to take a risk with a fresh-faced 23-year-old stepping out now to come and take responsibility for someone else's child who is now probably going to give them stress. Remember our other particular assuming analysis that a lot of the oversupply is in the primary.
Lower primary phase.
Well, let's assume the whole primary.
The whole primary.
Yeah. Is in the primary school phase. And that we are having a dwindling supply in the high school.
Yeah.
Secondary school scenario. Now, why are all the graduates deciding to work in lower primary specifically and in the primary and in the pre-primary discussion? Now, what's happening here at the back end? Why can't children qualify for universities? Why can't the teenagers have an AS level teacher at high school? Because you've got a whole bunch of people that decided, you know what, I'm going to become this specific kind of teacher, but only below 14 years of age. You are obviously going to sit with that.
A for apple and B for ball. But,
Helmut. Yeah, finish your sentence.
At this point, it's just, this is just my point of view on this whole thing. If this thought have not crossed the Ministry of Education's, or anyone in the Ministry of Education's mind before, then, I'll be the smartest person in the country.
Mm.
And I know that our international relations minister is someone else. But, the thing is, look, 15 PhDs. But look.
No, that was the former.
Yeah, right. That's the former.
Yeah. No, that man is highly qualified.
Oh, yeah.
Highly.
You know, homeboy.
Former minister, even.
Yeah, homeboy applies for my company. I'll be like, well, we will call you.
On which degree must we rate you on?
Yeah, which one? And how much are we paying you again? But look, the thing is.
I don't want that minister. I don't want him calling you, Helmut.
You have no idea. Believe me. Believe me, in one of my morning shows last year, I had an entire show on that guy and it was lit. But look. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to bring us into trouble. Well, at least it'll be with the right people, you know, not with the wrong people.
The thought I was driving to is that, creating some kind of elevation avenue, on how to retrain the already cluttered up, lower primary education, education field, and sort of like provide them with a stepping stone into this, into the secondary phase where we are lacking the manpower that's concentrated.
So also help to push them upwards.
To deal with the demand factor. Exactly, yeah. To deal with the demand factor. So,
but now the question, Helmut. Here's the question. Would that person move?
That's the question.
Would that person move? Look, a child, Helmut, is manageable up and until 13. And then at 13, you start seeing the antics, which is technically the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
It's either there's too much energy, they, start becoming a little bit narcissistic, you know, some kids become real menaces. I had to go for the sanitized English. And when they become 14, things just go off the rocker. I mean, I observed, you and I, you know, we've observed teenagers in our scenario when we were teenagers.
Oh, we were there.
I was wondering, this kid just started day one of high school and things are really like this. What's going on?
Look, I think because in one of the interviews that we have on our social media with one of the, you know, with one of the protesters that,
yeah.
you know, with one of the protesters, she did point out that, some of them work as cashiers, but they do have the qualifications to basically be more than that.
Mm.
And one thing that you just look at is, at this point, I think it's about, desperation that is, that is leading to things that we are reading in print media or seeing on the news that, three teaching positions were advertised in the Zambezi region. It's a school somewhere in the Zambezi region.
Yeah.
And 300 people showed up for an interview.
Or like the two in, was it Oshana or in the other, what's the other region where it was two posts and then 2,000 people applied?
Exactly. Like, that type of desperation, I think if you provided a stepping stone, maybe not all of them, but some of them will be willing to take up that challenge.
Yeah.
And also, this is where, you know, family and more like growing up and, breadwinning type of, or more like just responsibilities comes in. That, this is something that you can find on our social media that was pointed out by one of the ladies that was involved in the protest.
Mm.
And that is, she believes families have high expectations.
Yeah.
Every time that they send someone to school because they're, you know, this is an investment for families.
Yeah.
They're putting in, all this hard work to basically, get the, you know, each and every single cent they get to send their kids to, to all kinds of tertiary that they qualify to get into, only to, graduate, attend the graduation ceremony, and then, you know, pictures are taken, gowns and everything. Now, and then 2 years down the line, this individual, after we, you know, slaughtered our last chicken and, you know, to to celebrate, now she's just there without a job. Uh-oh.
So,
you know, this is where someone starts saying, okay, please vomit our chicken. But look.
Wait, so a Jack and the Beanstalk stock scenario sometimes happen without the fairy tale side of the beanstalk growing and Jack being able to steal a chicken that lays golden eggs and the gold of the giant who then subsequently dies because Jack chopped down the beanstalk.
Oh, man, that movie.
No, it wasn't that movie. It was literally the fairy tale rhyme.
Oh, no, I watched the movie.
Apparently that fairy tale rhyme is older than most religions.
Really? Commercial break.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply.
Oulio mnangeshefa na wahara kushivifa oma akuro weo kupitira muhurike radio station aweo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondoshe ipindi kono rahitatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa kono rahitatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and if you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. Now, just repeat that part about Japan. You just said off air.
Okay. So, dear listeners, in the statement also provided by the ministry, so we are now in the realm of the bad. Not that there's anyone doing anything bad. This is that the bad depicts the state of the situation in Namibian education system, i.e. learner-to-teacher ratio, because the ministry justifies that by saying, according to their statistics and what they've got on records, is that the learner-to-teacher ratio across the country, this is an average that they spread out, is 1:27. But obviously when you, and they even admit it, when you go on into the field, meaning you go to a school on the ground, and you go look at, you go count the head, meaning you do a head count of the ratio. How many teachers are there? And how many learners in the classroom? You would find certain settings in urban scenarios, in certain urban scenarios and settings, you would find overcrowded classrooms, which has been, in most cases, the thorn in the flesh. And then they answer that you will also find when you go to the rural areas, you will find smaller classrooms and also smaller, staff contingents.
Mm-hmm.
However, Helmut, when I give you that analysis, that is literally what has happened to Japan. Last year, I watched a small documentary by the Japanese state broadcaster, NHK. They also have a YouTube channel. And can you believe it, Hamid? One rural high school held a special graduation ceremony. It's like their matric farewell ceremony.
For their last student.
For that girl, the last student of that high school. Do you know how sad that is, Helmut?
That's painful.
She had all her pictures. She took a photo with all her teachers.
And that's how dedicated Japanese are.
And when she graduated, that school was closed down.
Now what happens to the teachers?
Then you get most redeployed, most.
Yeah.
So, okay, they're not the military, but they get they have to go fill in spots somewhere else. And that is the problem with Japan. Japan is closing down schools. I don't know what the ratio is, meaning how many schools per year do they close down in the rural areas. But it's also an indicator because young people don't want to live in the rural areas anymore. They don't want to have kids there. They don't want to live there. They don't want their babies to be born there. And thus, those small rural towns are dying because the rate of replacement.
Mm-hmm.
The rate of replacement.
And also feeds into their population.
Exactly.
Problems here.
Exactly. It's the same thing that is happening to Italy. It's the same thing that'll happen to Germany. It's the same thing that's been happening to England. It's the same thing that is happening to the United States. And we don't know about the United States even until I watched, there was something else I watched the other day, 2 months back. This guy was trying to trace, they just drove through a small town. Abandoned houses, Helmut. Abandoned houses. Because the owners just said, you know what? There's nothing in this town for me. Poof. They relocate.
Oh dear.
Now the local authority of that town is trying its best to attract people back to it, but they will end up like, they will end up like a Sicily situation where Sicily went and said, we are offering houses, we're selling houses for €1, but you have to prove to us that you are going to spend €200,000 to renovate this house.
And therefore bringing back opportunities to the
town. Having your children born there and all those things to revitalize the whole thing, Helmut, is about growing your tax base. That's the thing about governments. Governments, they give you services, and it's about them sustaining that population because that population pays taxes. They mm-hmm. pay taxes to the businesses they open. They pay taxes to the jobs they have. They pay taxes to the services you provide them. And thus, you've got a healthy economic system flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Namibia is on the same trend. Namibia is on the same trend. Remember our statistic of there were lesser households in 2011,
but
which were larger.
Yeah.
But in 2023, we've got more households
that are small,
but smaller households. 4 to 5 in 2011 versus 3 to 2. So that means, Helmut, people only have money to have a kid. If it's now a couple. They only have money to have one child. And then from there, they are coasting it.
Yeah, and that's if they even decide to have kids. And this is, something that's, this is where, I think it was, last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, the single tax started trending all over,
sent you.
You see, one guy wrote in the comment section that, taxing people for being single is not going to cut it. You first have to find out why they are not having kids. And that's because they are being overworked and they have a lot, the cost of living is so high. You can barely afford to feed yourself, let alone a family.
Mm.
And then when you look at it from a Namibian perspective, it was revealed by last year's, labor force statistics that not only do we have an increasing unemployment statistics, which is bad, but even if you are counted as part of those that are employed, another question that comes up is, do you make enough to go by? And the answer is no. Now, when you look at it, then you see that, if you live in Windhoek, for example, or just any urban area at this point, and you make, and your monthly income is $1,000.
How are you going to survive?
You may as well just be classified under unemployment because that's bad.
Yeah, that is bad. How are you going to survive? There is no way, Helmut. Now here's the worst case scenario also. So you mentioned that, singles tax scenario. I also have to correct the people. It's actually not a single tax. It's like they were amending a known sort of like incentive program by the Japanese government.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, they were looking at aspects in terms of how to incentivize people that are going to have more babies.
Yeah.
Now, Japan is doing its best by trying to boost their rate of replacement. But here's the thing, Helmut. The unfortunate thing is... and this is, I am obviously pro it. I've said before, I am a feminist as well. Mm-hmm. I am pro women having jobs, pursuing careers, taking charge of their personal lives. I never wanted to see a situation like what I just discovered about South Korea, for example. Mm-hmm. Up until 2008, Helmut, women did not have rights.
Huh?
Yes. You could not, women were not allowed to even work up until 2008.
2008. Not 1918.
And the moment you got married as a woman, I might be overstating that particular thing, but there was something in 2008 where they actually recognized that women technically can be allowed to then also have equal economic opportunities as men, because there was something in their legislation, in the constitution that said, only women may be allowed to do certain particular things. Only men are allowed to do certain particular things. Mm-hmm. And in most of it, it had a direct impact on who had access to jobs. It actually features the 4B movement discussion in South Korea, which is obviously the 4B movement, which is about coitus, no children. Yeah, I had to use that word.
The first one, though, like, why am I punishing myself that way? No way I'm doing that.
No, but these women, these South Korean women are championing, because they highlighted specifically that there are major negatives in the South Korean ecosystem.
Yeah,
I know we've digressed from teaching to this, but this particular discussion about population trends has a direct impact on teaching.
Yep.
Because here's the first question we're going to ask, Helmut. That one of those protesters that we interviewed on our socials was asked, highlighted to our field reporters, the interview process must be done away with. So now you want a Bangladesh situation?
No.
You want a Bangladesh situation?
Nope.
Everyone just, working like, okay, let's plug the gap there. We see there are 5 people. Let's send the people. Now the person gets there. Now the person gets there. The one of the reasons that the government or the ministry tries to achieve, Helmut, is they try to achieve some sort of a harmonious employment system. I don't know if you've seen this before. they will allocate teachers that they believe are best suited to certain particular scenarios across the teaching landscape in Namibia. It's not just about plucking the, it's not like the army or the police even go and look after the border or deploy some or being deployed there for 2 years over there. Ha!
Say yes, sir.
It's not like the army and the police.
Okay, now, that more like who chooses to work where.
Yeah.
It's also one complicated scenario, if you know, one complicated problem, if you ask me. Because, well, first of all, this whole thing is going to be going back to, you know, to the labor force survey.
Yeah.
Because those statistics, again, makes for a sobering reading. So, because you will have very few opportunities, a lot of people will be forced to basically work somewhere, you know, someone from Zambezi, if they get an opportunity in, take, for example, in Osinker, they're going to take it. And that's where the part now, where the Minister of Education pointed out that someone that works, for example, in the Karas region have to spend 2 days traveling back to Zambezi or the north and basically the entire north. Mm. 2 days to travel to go and then 2 days to come back.
Mm.
So, all this distance is also factoring into the absenteeism of teachers, of all people. But,
which is now the strange of our discussion.
I mean, seriously, like, really? Yeah.
You'll start with that,
Yeah, so, one thing she did say, and you can also find that on our social media, is that, following the proper communication channels of how and when to take a leave should be a priority, not just, you know, by SMS, sorry boss, I don't think I'll show up because I didn't find transport. Like, of course they are going to be like, inconveniences here and there, and those ones are almost always factored for you, basically wherever you go.
No, but Helmut, we also need to put a peg in terms of our analysis in that kind of a discussion that the minister went and addressed.
Yeah.
That just shows poor, what do you call that thing? Poor work ethic. Straightforward, Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
Poor work ethic.
Sorry, principal, I won't be, you know, I'm not feeling well today.
Look, if you're sick, you're sick. But if you can supply the sick note, do it. Don't supply the sick note 5 days later, after you were sick on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Then eyebrows get raised, because they were like, hello, Baba. Vas is los and vas is vas. What's this? How do you bring a sick note afterwards?
Yeah.
I mean, even when I was sick and back in last month, not last month, in April. Yeah, end of April. 3 days. It was a weird particular flu that I had. 3 days, Helmut. I supplied that sick note. Day one, went to the doctor. That's how I knew it. That's the system I grew up in. That's how I developed professionally. I don't supply a sick note 5 days after telling you I'll be sick.
No, don't worry. I'll just send it to you via WhatsApp.
I'll send it by, bird postal service, you know. In Afrikaans, we call it a post, Dave. Yeah, I'll send it with a, and then, you know, you're definitely fired. If you use a positive joke, you know, then you're definitely fired. But yeah, you were still saying.
First of all, this conversation, even if it was nurses that went on a protest or take for, or hospitality graduates went on a protest, it will be taking us back to the, it will be taking us back to the labor force survey.
Yeah.
But just focusing on the education graduates, one thing that obviously leads to, among other things, is why are classes, take for example in rural, in urban areas, more full, like the teacher to learner ratio is somewhat imbalanced, more imbalanced in urban areas than it is in rural areas. Our population, according to last year's population statistics, the rural to urban split with regards, especially when you look at the Namibian population, it's more of, 50-50.
Yeah.
With the urban, urban population on an increase, and the rural population on a, on a decline.
Yeah.
And that's, again, it's just people searching for, moving from rural areas to urban areas to search for opportunity. And then you realize that, you can't leave your kids somewhere in the middle of nowhere and then come here. Because, you know, if you're making $1,000 a month, you don't have the luxury of traveling every month. So you mess with.
We even have one colleague here, Helmut, who is here in Windhoek.
Yeah.
And one of her kids was in the north.
Yeah.
She obviously knows who I'm talking about.
So but you know what?
But I won't mention names. Hey. You know, I don't want to be beaten up tomorrow.
Yeah, this one is on you.
Yeah. I'll take those clothes. I'll take them. But anyway. But
yeah,
that is an example that helps you.
Yeah.
Your analysis there.
Yeah. So you see now what this I think that also contributes to the seemingly increase of, you know, more like filling up of classes more in urban areas, and then the more like a decline in students in classes of classes in rural areas. Mm. And now this is where I actually have to, you know, congratulate the, you know, congratulate the Ministry of, you know, the Ministry of Education on this one.
Mm.
You know, they are one of those very few ministries with a working website. And one thing that you see there is that they have statistics of how many schools we have in the country and how many classrooms we have, how many learners and how many teachers. How accurate that is, don't ask me. No, just, you know.
Well, they also given in their statement a very nice thing. Mm-hmm. They use a 15th something school something measurement metric,
mm-hmm.
which is up to date, apparently up to last year,
yeah.
versus something that is a perceived out of date circular of 2001.
Mm-hmm. Now on that website, you know, basically will redirect you to, you know, to a PDF document that gives you the 2024 statistics of, of schools per region, learners and teachers, both male and female. Now, very enlightening, because mm-hmm. if you want to know how many teachers, how many learners, you know, that are in the country, teachers, for example, we have 33,322 according to their website. Now this is based on I think last year's statistics, but yeah. Put a question on mark on that
in terms of when that was measured.
33,000 teachers. This is 896,311 learners, 28,777 classrooms, 2,036 schools. Now, getting to the infrastructure part of the discussion, that's a whole different type of discussion. But this morning's protest can be traced back to a lot of factors. One is obviously the unemployment. We are producing a lot of graduates that we don't have the capacity to absorb. That's one. Two, a lot of them are graduating in a field that's already, that's already filled up. So now, everyone is, graduating with for example, with an honors in a primary phase, a primary education phase, and only to get and find out that, well, there's, that level of education can only absorb so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's another level up there, which is, has more vacancies now.
The ministry says it very nicely, even in that statement of theirs, they literally highlight, the current estimate number obtained is, this is now, in terms of the database of teachers that have registered and that are not employed.
Mm-hmm.
So the current estimated number that they obtained is just over 4,000 in terms of teachers that have registered and that are not employed in Namibia. 4,000. What was that statistic you highlighted from the website? The one in terms of the ones that they do have?
The number of students.
Teachers.
Yeah, teachers. The teachers we have 33,322.
Those are ones that are obviously in the system.
Yeah.
At schools. So, and the student population is rated as just in the 5 to 6 year olds pre-primary phase numbers of learners,
mm-hmm.
Versus that 33,000, which is a global number.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 54,000 learners only in pre-primary phase. So 5 to 6 year old children.
So in other words, there are more learners in secondary phase than there are in primary phase.
Okay? No. Yeah. We will obviously have a large demand if we only have 33,000 people at the 2036 schools, which is both primary and secondary combined number. Now that obviously shows to you, Helmut, that they, that means Namibians are literally, you know, producing, obviously.
Congratulations.
Outperforming when you are not supposed to.
This season sometimes has something to do with it.
Don't start on that season stuff, Helmut. But when we get into this discussion, right?
Yeah.
So they've got a number of 4,000 people that have registered on their database.
Yeah.
And that are there. So they've got a database. Then they highlight, with the majority having qualifications in junior primary phase. Oh my goodness. Oversupply once again. The ministry just then says, and I'm reading this word for word verbatim, we wish to point out that this area of specialization is saturated. Except for medium of instruction in Kwekwekovap, Afrikaans, Namibian Sign Language, Setswana, and Chutwanzi.
Languages.
Language teachers.
Are needed.
So now everyone would jump in my bag and say, no, Dwight, hoekom gaan gee jy nie klas nie? I'll obviously tell you, what's this? What's the salary? And do I really want to move out of my comfort zone from literally Windhoek to Das Bush? It's obviously a pun on the German Second World War, First World War movie, Das Boot, about the submarine.
Seriously?
I said Das Bush. I mean, I've seen enough Bush in my life, Helmut. But anyway, we're not here about Dwight. We're here about the analysis. So, just capping that, Helmut. Oh, here is where the beauty comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The statement then continues to say, the possible intervention to this particular challenge is the focus on formalization and expansion of ECD centers.
Mm-hmm.
They note that the survey report of 2024 from their side on ECD depicts that there is a total of 110,726 children in ECDs across the country, of which 57,000 are aged 5 years and older, meaning that they should be on a part of the formal education system. Remember, just the next sentence they highlight that they've got 54,000 confirmed learners in 5 to 6 year old pre-primary phase, which is ECD.
Yeah.
So that 54,000 falls into the 110,000. Not the 110,000 plus the 54,000. It's part of it. Because they've got their government network and then you've got the private sector guys.
Yeah.
Because we have to identify that there is also a parallel system running next to the public system.
Mm.
Here is the crux. Now you and I know, because of budgetary scenarios, parents will keep children sometimes in a private setting. For example, for daycare. I call it daycare. Daycare is usually when is that phase before pre-primary, before ECD. Because the parent is a working parent. The parent needs extra hands. The parent doesn't have a support base where they might be working. And so the child is left at a daycare center. I call it a daycare center, which is now supposed to be thought of as the ECD scenario of things. And then the parent can go.
It does form part of the early childhood development.
It technically does, yeah. But the question you have to ask then is there some sort of a dispensation of ECD taking place in that facility, or yes or no? Because if it's privately owned, you have to ask the question. If it's just the pure sake of a daycare center, you know, just looking after the kids, for the sake of looking after the kids, then it's not ECD. It's just you babysitting.
Yeah.
At a designated depot of babies. That sounded weird, but okay.
Oh dear.
I had to describe it that way.
Yeah. Now, okay. When we look at it. Oh, by the way, the line is blinking. I know this is a very interesting discussion.
No, get them in. Get them in.
Oh, please.
We didn't have our callers.
Call in.
We didn't have our callers in a long time.
Yeah. Do call in. The line is 083-288-401. And today is Tuesday, so tomorrow is Wednesday. So If you are not a subscriber of the eVillager, you can send a subscribe via WhatsApp to 08120044 and just you'll be on time to catch the tomorrow's the eVillager newspaper, which comes 3 days a week. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you can just subscribe to it by just doing that very simple task. As subscribe via WhatsApp to 08120044
and save the number, guys.
And yeah, say do save the number.
We don't want to look like spammers. Just save the number.
And yeah, we are not going to call you and say, you know what, for you to register, please, you know,
no,
just
take a
small e-wallet. You know, if someone does that, I don't care how, you know, professional they sound, in the words of our phone. Still current Minister of Defense. He sounded very professional. He's a scheme. Of course, he's going to sound professional. But look, we just subscribe, and then the e-paper will come for free. Now, as long as you sort out your end, which is decent internet connection, and you're good.
Mm.
Yeah, but send us money. You know, yeah, that's most likely not us.
Yeah.
No, not us. And, the line is 083-288-401. That is the line to call in the studio. And, for the office, which I would not recommend you do this time, 083-288-400.
So.
Yeah. So, moving on. So, discussion now of, teachers' absenteeism, that one is self-explanatory, because that one is, you're just talking to adults too, and then you're telling them to grow up and follow the professional channels. Now, primary level phase, or more like primary phase, that is filled up with graduates, and it is so bad that a lot of them don't have an opportunity. Then you have a vacuum in the secondary phase. Like, at this point, we're going to have to, I don't think we have a choice but to figure out how to, retrain those people so that they can fit into where there is a vacuum.
Mm. The downside here, Helmut, is since we're talking about the strange, which is this teacher absenteeism discussion, which is literally a highlight of poor work ethic of professionals. You're being paid money, so you're a professional. The downside of this is the particular conundrum that, and this feeds into the next phase of our discussion. I actually wanted to keep this as one of our other subject matters, but we probably might have to cover it in this coming week or in the rest of this week. So Anthropic's CEO, one of the AI platforms, highlighted that by the end of this year or within the next 2 years, close to 100,000 jobs in the US and around the world will be phased out because of AI. Now, firstly, you've got teachers who want jobs on the one side, graduates.
Yeah.
Namibians are busy rolling out AI everywhere in Namibia.
Yeah, someone pointed out that we want AI ambulances.
Ish.
I'm telling, people will be dying because of lack of network. The ambulance was not here on time. Our network was just
disconnected. You can't jump there if we don't even have adequate internet.
Forget internet. You don't have enough ambulances.
What does AI run on? A data server. Besides the electricity.
Yeah.
The data server.
And that thing is gobbling electricity.
We only have one private one. And then there is one public one. I won't say where the public one is. It's at a university.
Yeah.
But it's still, once again, highly centralized. Once again, still highly centralized.
Oh no, that part killed me. I'm definitely covering that tomorrow morning so I can have all the time I want. But look.
But yeah, I mean, now we're literally sitting on a technological revolution on the one side.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you literally have the dilemma of unemployed teaching graduates.
Yeah.
And those that have or are in the positions. Now, remember, in the public sector, these teachers are part of the Public Service Commission and their rules. Oh, there's a very lovely thing I was told by a family member that works in it. that, and because he went and read it, he literally said in the Public Service Commission helmet, you can show up at 10 o'clock at work. You're supposed to start at 8. It is still considered a work day. You have worked.
What?
Let me say that again. You can show up at 10 o'clock. You can come late by 2 hours to work in the public sector. As long as you're there for the rest of the day. And you can still take your lunch hour. You worked. In the public service as well, it was also explained to me, you can show up at 8. You can move the pen from your right-hand side to the left-hand side.
You've worked.
No, you haven't worked. I even made a joke with a friend of mine who also works in the public sector. And he literally said, Dwight, you can write one letter a day for a sentence. You show up at 8, you write that letter, and from then you just sit there playing video games or watching movies on the internet.
Man, I want to be those guys.
Do you know how bad I would feel for being paid for doing nothing?
What? You'd feel bad? Okay.
I feel bad. Yeah, look, Helmut, I still have that aspect of that Catholic character in me. I believe that, you know, labor should be equated to the sum of money. It should be of a perceived positive value to me, but it should not be of a lesser value, or I should not be trying to cheat the person or scam it, which obviously is one of the particular problems currently in society. Mm. There are people finding very colorful ways of sounding professional.
Oh, yeah.
But you obviously want to say, I did do something that justifies said particular
salary at the end of the day. Yeah.
Now, remember when I said poor work ethic? Now, put that same ethic also in those absent teachers. Yeah, people have to, those principals have to inquire. Why are their teachers absent?
Now,
because those principals obviously can't fire the people.
No, they can't.
They can't.
Because they are not their employer.
Exactly. But we quickly wanted to fire a guy who was, you know, busy beating up people's kids. Remember last year? Was it last year? Yeah, it was last year. The corporal punishment guy. The corporal punishment teacher.
Yeah.
There's
also this story where the, you know, student challenged physical confrontation Ali, the teacher, and then the teacher went to the police. I'm like, excellent idea.
Was it not the Zambian thing?
No, not that one.
But the teacher was beaten up by the student, by the learner.
That was learners, plural. The school that I was working
at. Oh, they papacked him.
They
ganged up on him.
That's the one that was going viral. That was, a lot of people thought it was in Namibia. Turns out it's an old thing coming out of Zambia.
Yeah, it's a Zambian one.
Back in 2017 or, yeah, I think it was late 2017.
Mm.
When a teacher, when a teacher was, when a teacher, no, a student, grade 12 learner, fought with, fought with a teacher.
Mm.
Yeah, it ended up being a police case.
Yeah, because it's assault.
It is assault. But that's when, and by the way, if it happens to you, just swallow the ego and please don't get into legal trouble. I mean, chances are very high you can just pummel the student, but that's not going to work positively on your side.
No, but then the dad shows up there with the whole community in front of you, the school gate at 1 o'clock at lunch. And I don't want to be that teacher.
Nope.
But that's just also the other issue. Namibian parents have to look after their kids.
Every parent wants to look at, look after their kids.
No, but I'm not talking about that looking after them. Mm-hmm. The question is, they have to instill character and discipline into that child. I'm not there to deal with your child. I'm there to help your child. Do you want to be dealing with overly hormone driven teenagers who are willing to beat you up at the gate? And you know they can beat you up.
Look, to this day, I still have no idea how I survived that. Because not just that. My HOD used to call me SRC because I was just the same height
as
most of them. I kept telling the guy I'm older than all of them. And it's like, yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I'm just looking at your height and going like, where's this SRC? And it became a very, a very awesome joke.
Mm.
You know, at the beginning, I almost started a fight with the guy, but he's huge. I was like, you know what? Nah, it's not worth losing my teeth on. You know, my teeth
okay. over. Okay, now, if you were a teacher now at Yala Duplessis, in Kommersdal, or Augustinium,
I don't think
Kommersdal, which is on the edge with Karatura,
yeah,
or any of the other Karatura high schools, do you think you would have survived hell?
No.
Nope. Where all those teenagers are bigger than you?
Nope. I don't know what you know, these kids are, you know, being fed, but man, they are growing up like
a lot of them are tall, yeah.
Yeah, really, really.
A lot of us
really.
Were short.
Huge.
Yeah, a lot of us were short. Yeah, we were grade 8 and 17 or grade 12 then. But a lot of them, these teenagers now.
No, I was working in town this other time. You know, this lady was celebrating, I think, her 41st birthday. And she was looking smoking hot. And then you run into, you know, 2000, that's looking like she's the one that in her 40s, but you guys looking. Look. Back to the subject, Oten. Now, but let's take a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Oulum nangeshifa, noahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
20 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're looking at recent protests, so basically the unemployment, the high unemployment statistics that a lot, you know, that is, the reason behind the anger of a lot of education graduates, which basically that is, you know, the anger that's in every graduate, irrespective of the field that they did at school, as long as they graduated and they don't have the opportunity that the opportunity of the course they studied for. And then you have, some lucky comedians that just decided to, at some point found themselves, yelling nonsense every morning in the ears of everyone that's listening. Let's take a call coming in from, I have not, taken calls for a while. I forgot how to take calls. Nah, just kidding. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Oh, thank God.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I pray.
Not for the spirit of that one.
Not the spirit of Amadiwa.
That one will go crash him. Good evening, people. Or is it the afternoon?
Are you doing Uncle Bona?
We thank God. You cannot be thankful.
Yep.
Whatever is given, God may take it away. So now you guys, you are saying that what is in Korea, where you were saying that the women were not, they did not have rights?
In Korea, Uncle Bona.
In Korea, backward. And the people are always, I wonder when people are always talking about our legal system, our judicial system, is really just copy and paste. Of course, we understand the background.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when you look at some of those values, you discover that our system is a good. 2008 is just recent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just recent. And I understand that those are the countries that we say they are well developed,
mm.
and we believe that their legal system is also updated. Not very perfect, actually.
Mm.
But at least it shouldn't be like the people who just got independent recently.
Mm.
Especially when our situation was more influenced by those philosophers.
Mm.
And we now very, like you were saying, women, of course, it's true, they have been denied that kind of right, too.
Yeah.
Even here, the system was also the same, especially when it comes to marriage, and also those single women, I'm sure they were experiencing a lot of hindrances whenever they want to have access to certain, you know, maybe financial facilities or any instruments. And then now my issue there is that you are also talking about graduate women and things like that, especially in hospitality. But that's where the bigger opportunity is. So if you were talking about rural migration, and we are now to talk about urban migration, because it can be reversed in that manner. And if you look at the USA, for example, or hospitality, tourism and hospitality, it has to do with tourism.
Mm.
Why don't we have areas where we can perhaps popularize it with village tourist activity?
Maybe, Uncle Bona. It depends.
Not maybe, because we are talking about rural area.
Mm.
And these people are coming from the rural area.
Mm.
And we are saying they are coming because in search of a good opportunity and other issues, employment and things like that.
Mm.
But we are saying tourism, village tourism.
Yeah.
So village tourism is a concept that can really, you can even incorporate it or integrate it with this conservancy, rural conservancy and all these other things.
Yeah.
And they are now, they create now your own unique kind of product, for example. There we have everything.
Mm.
The resources are there. The cattle are there.
Mm.
The donkeys and everything are there. And even the ones that you milk, the cows, where you milk. Are you saying that if you adapt some of these concepts, you are not able to get those tourists who can just have come there, maybe it's a transit camp kind of a thing? Yeah, they just come and now enjoy now the indigenous Namibian kind of product or the environment. Or
You're completely right, Uncle Bona, but the question I have to ask is, will that ensure, for example, that a teaching graduate in Windhoek will be convinced to relocate to that rural area where those tourists are now congregating, because those tourists came there to see the rural area of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So for that appeal of that, let's call it that destination, to stay like that, it technically means that nothing must be built. Now, do you think a Namibian that is studying in Windhoek wants to go live in a place where nothing is being built?
Actually, Helmut, you're the best. You're the best, Helmut.
Yeah. You know, listen, our facility there, we can use our own local materials.
No, Angabona,
for example.
No, but Angabona, I'm talking about the person. That is the question. Does the person want to see more bush, or do they want to see bright lights in a city?
And then what do they learn in their tourism kind of curriculum?
No, not tourism, Angabona.
Well, is it just the hospital is just to cook?
No, Angabona, I'm talking about teaching. Look, the tourism sector knows what they are doing.
Let's now talk about the teaching. I was actually coming to all the graduates.
From
whatever kind of profession.
Yeah.
Listen, if you are a graduate in teaching, I'm a teacher by profession. But I only taught the rest of my life I was teaching adult literacy. And then, you know, and these are issues of community development and areas of that nature. If you are a teacher, then you cannot see those opportunities there. Maybe to diversify your skills, your knowledge, or whatever. Because I know even in teaching, you're teaching about environment, social study. So you're talking about, like, now you see state development study, for example. You are now looking at all the aspects of development. So it doesn't matter. Even yourself, you are included in human development. So if you are a teacher and you are unemployed, can't you then look for and say, aha, the opportunity are there. Like I almost said, language teachers, they are in case.
Yeah, they are.
So if you don't have the, if you are a teacher and you have got a degree, can't you then go even for, I don't know how many years you need to study that indigenous language? And then the Minister of Education or whoever will not have any problem. Those who have studied the child, early childhood development.
Yeah.
If you go into the rural areas, all the people who are working and all these things, they are not kindergartens there. Yeah? So why?
And you are right.
And the kindergartens are not there and the people are taking their children to Ushaki, Ushikuku, where those small things in the village.
Yeah.
So now, and if you react with UNICEF, those UN bodies to assist you in funding and things like that, react with the Minister of Gender Equality, Child Welfare. Are you saying because you are a teacher and you are not a
Agubona?
You're now coming in and out. You're just breaking up.
Say now in the past, and some of
Angabona, can you hear us?
I teach 2 hours, and then they go.
Teach what 2 hours, can you hear us?
Are you expecting, yeah?
Angabona, can you hear us? Because you were cutting out.
Okay, now you're fine.
Yeah, so you want to comment on what I'm saying, that you are also adapting the kind of a banning system of education to us here and to the teachers? I'm lucky today I got in. In fact, maybe the telephone was disturbing me too much and decided, let it just...
No, we're just practicing a little bit of Museven here. But just a commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poikis ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get it without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Maybe I can just be concluding now. And I'm saying the teaching education system of the past Or even though we still have people who are practicing that. This is for a banking kind of system, a depositing story kind of system. Where a learner, a teacher and a learner, they are not a source of information, for example. But then, if they just come, the learners from their villages, they might have also experienced some of these issues about hospitality or tourism or whatever. I always want to couple them together. So, I'm saying that, yes, it's true, graduate and all these things, there are no employment and things like that. But I'm just saying that if you think out of the box, you might also really realize some of those kind of opportunity. But then, the planners and all these other people who are there, so they should then also take opportunity to the way the people are.
Yeah, like, okay, the dilemma we have here is we are producing, obviously, it has become, especially with regards to lower primary, basically the primary phase, that we are producing more teachers than the, than the our employment sector can absorb.
You see, that's what I'm saying. If you initiate, if they now start coming up with some kind of, collaborative kind of way, method.
Collaborative say, kind of way, like what, for example?
If you say, for example, you now find yourself, teachers are there, you have people who are graduating in agriculture, and, you can have a crop science, animals issues, you integrate those three major ones, and you are a teacher, because I have seen teachers from UNAM and the Polytechnic. Polytechnic doesn't produce teachers. So whatever it produces, those people, they team up. And then now they combine their skills and efforts, and they came up with an agricultural project.
So basically,
and sure it's progressing very well. All I'm saying is that if you collaborate among yourself and say, yes, there is a need at this village, and then now we can now put up some structures. Sometimes if you really plan very well, you can easily secure some kind of fund and just buy things and these other local materials and put up. That's how we were taught in the tree. And then until they put those your stamp trees or stamp base, and then before they build this kind of wall structure. So, and that's happening in every village there. The kindergarten, they start in the tree, under the tree.
I don't want to put you words in your mouth here, so I'm just going to phrase this in the form of a question. Like, so your point is graduates that are unemployed must come together and apply their skills to come up with, to come up with initiatives that will enable them to make some kind of revenue.
Wow, wonderful. You have actually summed it up very well.
All right. Thank you very much.
I think let me end up here.
Yeah.
And you see, now I was listening to your morning scope. So children, 17 million children in Sudan.
Yeah.
France have mentioned that maybe another Sudan, I don't know whether it's South or East or whatever. So they without school. The ones that are dying there, it's so many. So we seriously need to make sure that we mobilize ourselves, and when the leaders are coming up with those initiatives like registration that you were talking about, that they were able to enable them to do that. It's like a mission of UNICEF, a mission of UNESCO. Those are agencies that are there working.
Yeah.
Ministry of Gender is there. If you go there, and then say, oh, it's a kindergarten in just so village. They will come in and assess that place. You might even put some structure, like I say, 2, 3, or 1. And then they will come in and assess it and look at the environment. And through them, you can still get some support. Thank you very much, guys, for giving me an opportunity.
All right. No problem, Angibona.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so graduates bringing their skills together to come up with some kind of opportunity that will assist them financially. How feasible is that, though?
Good question. And who will help them?
Yeah. Tatabona did mention organizations like UNICEF or UNESCO, obviously depending on what project you are coming up with.
No, but they don't bring the money.
Exactly.
Look, Helmut, we have to identify, as always, the immediate shortcoming.
Yeah.
If you have an idea, which could be a business idea,
yeah,
is there financing for that? Now, even if the government has that credit guarantee scheme, that thing that's at the Bank of Namibia.
Yeah.
Where the government has, is part, no, no, it's not the credit. Yeah, it is the credit guarantee, that other credit guarantee scheme. Credit, not the depositors guarantee scheme, the credit.
Mm-hmm.
Where the government can stand as partial, they can be the, like a partial guarantor in a, what's the thing's name? For security. You know when you go and when people go borrow money to start
some kind of like insurance.
Yeah. No, it's another word, man.
You
know what word I'm talking about, but it's a security collateral.
Yeah, collateral. Yeah.
Where the government can be partial collateral. What did they do? What did the government do? It's labeled under youth development. But if most of the youth did not finish grade 12, how are you going to give someone that hasn't finished school money?
Yeah, everyone will be like, so...
It's a known perception.
Okay, but we're talking about graduates here.
Yeah. We're talking about graduates.
Yeah.
Who know, because they finished all the levels of education, that in order to take a risk, there will be an aspect in terms of where they must come up with an additional commitment for them to qualify for the risk.
Yeah.
Now, what if you don't qualify for the risk, and then what?
Then you don't have access to funding.
Exactly. Now, I know Anger Bonner referenced...
So that's where the discussion of collateral now becomes a giant...
A giant thing. So, what is the basis? What is the template? You go and try and look for a job in the field that you studied for. But here's the thing, Helmut. You keep referencing that $1,000 earnings limit.
Oh, yeah, that's painful.
Ne?
Right, I live alone.
That is the economy.
I live alone.
Yeah.
I spend more than that on food.
Yeah, I know. The same here for me.
And I'm just... you have to factor in also transport and all that. And you're just sitting there trying to wrap your mind around. I mean, that's a whole another level of financial management you need to master.
Exactly. And when we did the discussion of the basic income grant last week, what did we highlight? What did we cite? It did work. That discussion, Helmut, will every time rear its very obvious and inconvenient face to us and say, if you want to sort out something,
yeah,
you have to give someone some sort of a social safety net.
Yeah.
It's straightforward.
Universal income.
But it shouldn't be $100.
That's
4 liters of petrol.
No, forget 4 liters. That's super away. Let's face it at this point.
That is one trip in my car. Up and down Windhoek, and then that petrol is done. And knowing me and my OCD, it shouldn't go into reserve.
Mm-mm. Because, here's another problem with that $100 though. Okay, I need $26 for me to go to, this is Sunday now, I've done my laundry and I'm bored to death and I'm, you know, just wanna take an off-screen time, so I'm not playing video games or watching movie. Mm-hmm. So I just wanna go to an environment where I'm not looking at a screen because, well.
You also need to adapt from an artificial light.
Just need to, you know, some natural light for once. And that for me is more of an, just a different, it's most likely going to be an eating establishment with a few friends.
Mm.
Drinking establishments, not so much into that. So just an eating establishment. So, you need $13 to go.
Mm.
And if you are staying out late, I'm not catching a cab, I'm most likely dialing one of these app services.
Mm.
And that's going to cost you somewhere between 30 and 40, depending on how late it is and how far you are.
Mm.
And at the time of the month, because in the beginning, early beginning and late, time of the month when it's it's on demand, so the price is going to be high. That's not going to fit in $100.
No, it's not.
Nope. Actually, that's how much I'm going to spend on Kapana.
If it's going to be like an additional 500 to 1,000 Namibian dollars,
please.
Sure. But I don't see how, if the ministry is hitting you with receipts of statistics and we have an oversupply, which they once again confirmed.
Yeah.
And we have an undersupply, which they also confirmed. The question that people need to ask, either you start learning Afrikaans today and convert yourself, or you just, you know, pick up your courage and you deal with someone else's teenage children. Well, and believe you me, those teenagers are not easy.
Well, lucky me, I've already started my Afrikaans lessons. They are not going, okay, they are going very well for me. Everyone else, on the other hand, they keep laughing every time I open my mouth. But 2 minutes past the hour of 6, and we just have to take a quick break and then work into transitioning you into the business and economic segment. If you just tuned in, you have tuned in towards the signing out of a home run and the beginning of business and economic segment here on Eagle FM. Now, let's just take a break and then we'll work on signing off on the other side of the following break. Please do stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now it's this is a home run with Helmut and Dwight. We're still not in the business and economic segment, although we have appropriated 5 minutes of their time. So, the question that we are looking at here is, how does the ministry tackles this question? Because they are faced with a different, more like, different problems here. One is obviously which I don't, you know, I don't know how they're going to deal with that. You can't put a pause into people that are studying the, you know, a specific course, for example, even though we are looking at we have a lot of education graduates concentrated at the primary phase. You can't say no, we now have to tell universities or more like schools at all levels to stop offering that that field or those fields of study. You can't do that. Yep. And also, you can't, just run around building up schools so that you can absorb all these teachers, because the first question we're going to have is, do we have the money as a country?
And it's also a discussion specifically, Hamoud, of saying, you know, why should you stop something even if there's oversupply?
Yep.
But that then also just shows to me that the aspect of economic planning or developmental planning is not adequate enough, because obviously this means, look, Humbert, if my journalism degree at NUST had insights from the industry people,
yeah,
they are on a senate that decide what subjects and what next levels or trends or skills should be learned. Why not the same also for the education sector? Why not the same? What highlighting, and there should be like meetings by the stakeholders to say, listen, there is too much supply in lower primary or in primary.
What do we do?
You as the university, you have to convince the people to start applying for secondary. Helmut, we will sit literally with the Japan issue, and it'll be even in urban areas. You can't have an oversupply of teachers just for lower, for the primary sector. For the primary phase.
So that would be one very, you know, that would be one very brilliant way to address it. And that is more like on a symptomatic level, where you are telling, high institutions, you know what, now for these courses, we already have a lot of graduates that, that we don't know what to do with. So,
And you know the worst thing? Yeah. The university should explain this.
The university should explain.
The universities who dispense education qualifications.
Yeah.
They should come and explain why are they allowing an over registration in certain things. I know it's money for them. We all know it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But they have to come and, okay, from next year, there's must no money.
Look, it must be very painful to be studying lower primary right now. Listening
because,
to this.
Because it sucks. Because a statement.
It's like you're headed for doom.
A statement highlights that there's oversupply. People's real life accounts are telling everyone, we studied something, but we can't get in.
Yeah. Because for one, maybe, I don't know, no one told us that this field was already
oversaturated.
And by the way, if you are still in high school and you are looking forward to, to go into tertiary, you may want to, consider something else if you were planning on going to lower primary education.
And I mean, I'm just set the scene before we hand over. Just set the scene. If still 2 years, 3 years, even after you and I probably have to discuss this, 3 years from now, we still have teachers being graduated for the primary phase.
Like, what are we doing?
I mean, then we're most not serious about life here.
Absolutely.
In a developmental sense. For example, the serious nature also about AI-driven ambulances.
Mm-hmm.
All I think is just people need to have licenses and then get there. Stop worrying about the bright lights happening in the other countries.
Get a license.
Apply. Get a job. Okay. Be on time for work.
Okay, fine, Dwight. I'll get one. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on Eagle FM. You all stay blessed.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have capacity
to build? At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.